Let me tell you an impossible sermon to preach. It's hard to preach about something that so many in this room, if you were honest, struggle with. Namely, joy, happiness. I'm not asking you to say anything, but if I was to ask you, if we were just sitting down having coffee and I said, are you happy? Do you have joy? I would probably bet. Well, Baptist Church, can't bet. Okay, I won't bet. I'll bet a carrot that my son will eat that half of you would probably say, man, I'm not that happy. I'm not that joyous. So today, we've been in the book of Acts for a long time. I'm taking a break for a couple weeks just to address, as I've been in prayer, thinking about this congregation, thinking about people in this room, things that are going on. I kind of am in the know on a lot of things. Which makes the weight of being your pastor all the more hard. I just felt, man, this is an important topic to talk about. And it doesn't mean I'm saying we're all depressed people. It's just some of us, man, we're just not happy. We don't find joy. And I want to talk about a disconnect when it comes to God. So rather than me just saying this, I'll come back to some of my plans. I want to just do this before you start reading my sermon and change the answer. If you thought of, when you think of God, whether you're a believer or not a believer, when you think God, what are the first five things that pop into your head? God, I'm thinking God, I'm thinking about God. These are the words I would use to describe God. First things, not think about it and get all theological and let's really, first thing that pops in your head. What would it be? Faithful, love. Holy, righteous, majestic. I'm using a word Carson used in our time together as a staff. Forgiveness, freedom, hope, peace, mercy, justified, omnipresent, omniscient, right? Eternal, awesome. What else? Why not? Any more? What words? Huh? Daddy. God is daddy. Huh? Powerful. What? I am? Okay. You can continue this forever. I didn't hear this yet, and I want to talk about this. When you think of God, do you think of happy? That's what I'm after today. We talk about joy, but a lot of times when we think of joy and faithful and just and all these things, we're kind of thinking about ourselves and what he does for us. But one of the problems is we don't think he is that. Because in a lot of ways, listen, I want to say something to you today. We separate ourselves from God so distantly that it's hard to relate to God. Can I say that? If you're after happiness, if you're after joy, the greatest thing I can tell you is you need to focus in on one thing. I could say nothing else today and preach one thing to you. God is happy. God's satisfied totally, totally in and of himself. Can I tell you a disconnect that I was taught? I wasn't taught this. I wouldn't let someone teach me false things after I already learned things. Last week I talked about doctrine. I was an intern. My first job ever in ministry, ever, was there was a church my freshman year in college that needed, they didn't have a youth pastor at the time, and they were a big church in Alvin, so they hired four interns. Two of my really good buddies and a girl was an intern with us, and us four, and we were all HBU in biblical languages together, and we came together. And my first time, I don't do well on the fly. I just don't. Like, I just pop off. Like, I shouldn't, but I do that. That's my personality. And I'm sitting in a group, and this adult leader is talking to students, and he opens up, and he says this. He says, so, Jesus was created because God was lonely. First thing, first day on the job. First Sunday, I'm sitting there and he says that, and I immediately look at the kids. Don't listen to anything he just said, because what he just said was heresy. I had to meet with the pastor that day, right after, because I said, that's not true. No! Like, if God is not happy, happy, what is my hope for happiness? What is your hope for joy if God's not joyous? What is your hope for eternal salvation if God is not secure in who he is? I don't need an insecure God. I need a God that tells me what it is. Yes, I'm needy. Don't look to your answers for me. Don't look for happiness for me. I'm a man and I'm as broken as you. I just have to get on a stage. Let me tell you something, though. God is happy. He is so satisfied and joyous. And I'm going to show you today, throughout the beginning of the world, throughout creation, God has always been totally satisfied in and of himself. He did not need you to satisfy himself. Do you believe that? So how do I preach anything different than that? I'm going to say, you're going to say, this is the most repetitive sermon you've ever preached. Yep. I want to point you towards joy. If you were at the men's ministry, there's a portion at the very end of the sermon, you're going to see the exact things I preach at the men's ministry. And I was like, huh. I felt people coming up to me saying, like, we really needed to hear this. So I was like, well, maybe the whole congregation needs to hear this. So I'm re-preaching the very back forth of my sermon, and I went a little further with it. So folks, as I was preparing, now I can do what I would normally do, just worshiping on Saturday. There's a song, if you were to look it up, I'm not even going to give you the title. If you were to look it up, very charismatic group. Do you think I listen to some charismatic stuff? I like joy. I like excitement. I'm not afraid of it. This song is pretty charismatic. It says this: there's a table that you've prepared for me in the presence of my enemies. It's your body and your blood you shed for me. This is how I fight my battles. It spoke to me as I was thinking about this sermon. He goes into this: I believe you've overcome, and I will lift my song of praise for what you've done. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is, and it goes on and goes. It's saying this. Don't miss this. It's saying, how do I fight my battles? There may be a presence of enemies all around me. There may be, listen, circumstances that nobody could endure. Nobody can endure it on their own. So I don't know your circumstances, but all of you have come in here with circumstances that are too weighty for anybody to handle. And I love this song because it says, this is how I fight my battle. It's the victory you've already won. It's the blood that you've already shed. It's who you already are. And it goes on further. It says, in the valley, I know that you are with me. Surely your goodness and your mercy follow me. My weapons are praise and thanksgiving. This is how I fight my battles. I believe you've overcome, and I will lift my voice of praise for what you've done. This is how I fight my battles. And then it has this like intense moment in it where it says, I may be surrounded. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Amen. What is the point? The point is, it may look like life is falling apart. Amen. And that looks different for every person that's walked into this sanctuary today. But I want to remind you of something. I'm doing you a disservice if I don't say God is totally happy, totally joyous, and your answer is the same as the modern answer to any kid, right? What's the answer? Jesus. Jesus is your answer. He's fully satisfied. He's fully loving God. And here's the deal. You want more joy? You want more happiness? It's less of you, more of him. Less of you, more of him saying, God, give me what I don't have. It's a total dependency, not on you. Total dependency on God. And that's where your source for the solution is. Now, I'm not saying to you, if you have some depression, there's some clinical depression, and the answer may not just totally be Jesus. But can I say this? If you're depressed, that's still part of your solution, if not the biggest part of your solution. It still is Jesus. Amen? So with that said, we get into a verse. I'm going to skip some of my other pre-planned stuff so I can get going. Sermon title, God, help me, I need joy. So if you were to write down the first five things, would happiness have been them? I didn't hear it once. I didn't hear it in staff meeting because I don't think we think about that. But I want to say to you today, when we talk about joy and happiness, I want to say God is totally happy. One verse I would share to you, we're going to look at more scripture. One of the, an odd verse, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, It says this, in accordance with the glorious gospel of the blessed, and blessed can often be translated, and I think in this text, it is actually translated, best translated, as happy. God, with which I have been entrusted. Now this is after he's talking about, in the context of this passage, he's talking about law, and he goes on a list of all these things that are against the law of God, and yet after that, it's an unusual thing for him to say. He says, in accordance with the glorious gospel of the happy God with which I have been entrusted. And I it's kind of perplexing because very few people think of God as supremely happy. In the fellowship of the Trinity, in the working of creation and redemption, we just don't think that way. And in Paul's mentality, even after listing these sins, which is even more odd, everyone is terrified of Baptist churches because they may say the word repent. Yeah, you may say the word repent. But let me tell you something. In this text, he's listing these sins that are against God, and yet he still says the gospel in which I preach that I'm entrusted with as a blessing, and that's the happy God that entrusted me with this. God is totally satisfied. Amen? And it's just an odd, perplexing verse. And so my huge sermon point, what the church and the world needs today, what do you think the world needs today? If I said that to you, what does the world need today? Those around you with no hope, far from God, they can't stop focusing on politics because where have they found their hope in? Somehow the government, somehow politics, somehow their money, somehow their job, somehow their spouse, all the things they're placing their hope in, right? What do they need more than anything else? I'm here to say to you today, more than anything else, it is to know and love God, the great and glorious, sovereign, happy God of our Bible. Not this separated, so far from us. This is a happy God. Our God is happy. Do you believe that? When you talk about God to people around you, do you talk about God as a judgmental God? Here's the deal. The narrative who God is in our communities because of Christians and how they portrayed who God is God hates you almost. Can I say that? When people think of God, if you were to ask your atheist lost friend, what do you think about God? That'd be an interesting question. When you think of God, what do you think? When first words that pop into your head, God, might be judgmental, hates me. I would be interested in knowing what do they think of God. Now listen, as Christians, we've painted that narrative. And I want to change that today, and I'm preaching on this. Our God is happy, totally satisfied. God is not judging you, he is holy, so he does tell you this is the difference. The biggest problem in the world is who I am and who you are. And I came into this earth, I died, I willingly gave up my life. Listen, happily, so that I could make the difference between you and me. And your farness from me and who I am, I happily chose to give my life up for you. Now we see Jesus teach us all the time. He doesn't mean, he's still at Gethsemane, when his disciples were sleeping, he's still sweating blood and they're not praying. He still had anxiety with everything he went through, but he still willfully did it because he was joyous about the result that he knew would be. Victory over death, namely your justification, which is Jason's word. Justified, made righteous, so that every day of my life, no matter how much I fail, I know my God doesn't look at my failure. Can I tell you how I view life? God already sees me as righteous, as white, as purely as white as I can be in heaven. See, God doesn't live in my time frame. My little line, God says this is like nothing. He's eternal. And God already knows that I'm righteous. And I'm white, and I'm covered. Even when I make mistakes, even when I'm far from God, I'm not saying my sins are no big deal. They're a big deal. But God already views me as righteous. Now that might change your happiness. That might change your joy. That might change your view of God. And when you talk to others that are lost, far from God, do you paint that picture? Why I am so satisfied in my joy for God and my joy for following Jesus. Because I already know I'm covered. There's nothing that will separate from me for the love of God. Nothing. I'm not earning anything. That's a freedom. Talk about freedom. The freedom is I'm already free. Even death can't separate me from that love of God. And I'm already righteous. I'm already made right. Now, here's the problem. Some people are like, oh, that means I don't do anything. No, it means real worship starts. I'm covered. I'm not paying God back. I'm just a worshiper. I'm excited. Listen, it's freedom. I have freedom to love God. I have freedom to be free. In Christ, nothing's weighing me down. It's already been covered. Do we paint that narrative for people? So often, the first thing if you're talking about lost people, so many of them have a painted picture of this judgmental, I hate you, God. He hates me. I'm disgusting to him. And that's why I don't believe in him. Could you be part of the change and changing the narrative? I'm not saying make God love. Love is not God. Because that boxes God in, and it says whatever you think love is who you're trying to say God is. I'm not saying that. God is love. It's one of his attributes, not his greatest attribute. I'm not saying that. But I am saying our God is loving. Our God is full of joy, fully satisfied, and you need happiness. You need joy. That means you need Jesus. And we've got to do a good job of painting a picture in our community and people's lives. Why do we show up at church? Why do we worship? These are the questions lost people have. Why do you give? Why do you commit so much time to community? Why? Because I have a God that's incredible. And he has what I need. And he gives it to me. Can I say that to you? And I can paint that picture. Are we painting that picture to people that are far from God? Or do we think we've got something that we should condemn? Hey, you need to follow God because you're going to go to hell. That's important. And that's what the good news is. But sometimes people need a relationship with somebody that says, let me tell you, beyond just, I don't want to go to hell. I love God. I love Jesus. I love my God. I love my creator, my happy God. Can we say that to people? Now, here's the deal. Some of us don't have happiness. So we have a hard time connoting to God and to other people if we describe God as happy because we're not happy. So that is my mission today a little bit. God is overflowingly happy in eternal fellowship with it in the Trinity. And he does not need us to complete his fullness and is not deficient without us. Rather, we are deficient without him. Do you believe that? Every bit of unhappiness, every bit of lack of joy is not because God is deficient. It's because we're deficient. And we need more of him to fill us. Now, I'm going to skip a little bit. This is different than the modern world's thinking. In the modern world, all depends on self. It's self-help. But in the biblical world, everything terminates on God. Only God can satisfy your soul, my soul, forever. Only God can free us to make much of him, and yet at the same time, have ever-increasing love and endless ages. The more we fully become and embrace our created purpose. There's nobody I could talk about that is the way God is. Somehow, the more I get satisfied in God, I get satisfied. Listen, if you find your satisfaction in your spouse or in your kids, it will fail you. If you find your satisfaction in your job or in money or in security, it will fail you. But let me tell you something. If you find your joy and your satisfaction in God, you will be filled. You will. And it's the only thing that can do that. The more satisfied you are in God, the more satisfied you will be. And yet that is what you were created for. Your purpose was to worship. Let me tell you something. If I take a worm and I put it in a box and dirt and I take it away from birth and it never learns what a worm's supposed to do, let me tell you something. I keep that worm alive and I take that worm out and put it into the world and it didn't get trained how to be, it was never trained how to be a worm. It was doing what it was designed to do. You know that? All creation is designed for a purpose. And you were designed to worship. You will never find your joy or satisfaction and joy if you don't press into God and worship. The more you resist and fight God is the less you are going to find joy and happiness, because you were created for something, and it is worship. That's what God made you for. And the best and the most glorious way to find your joy and your happiness is surrendering to God and say, I will be what you've called me to be. And that is, you've called me to worship. I'm going to be a worshiper in word and in truth and in this life. Not for the pretense, not for those around me, not for what do people think about me. For you, God, which is why God says, don't give and tell anybody. You just give. This is why God says, don't go pray and look good in front of people. Don't do it for that purpose. Go and pray with me. Because why are you doing it? You're doing it to connect to whom? God. Your reward is with whom? God. Not the praise of man. Because you put your focus on man, that is fleeting as well. Only God. Everything terminates on God. And the more you become who God created you to be, who he called you to be, and you just surrender to worship and to live the life God has called you to live, you will find, I promise you, can I say this as a testimony? You will find your joy and your happiness far from circumstances in a God. You will believe the truths of the Bible. You will, as I do, look at my life no matter how many times I fail. I know God doesn't view me as a failure. God sees me as righteous, pure, and it's the reason he died on the cross. That Ben Rosenberger, as well as you, could find a security in being justified. So listen, I'm freed up to worship. I'm freed up to live freely. You know that song? I am free to run. You know that song? I am free to live for you. I love that song. That's the way life should be. But we get freed up because God and what he's done for us and believing those things. But it's the weirdest relationship. You want joy, every bit of it terminates on you pursuing God. And yet everything in your sinful nature says, don't press into God. Don't worship God. Find it within yourself. Fix it yourself. Some of you are tired because you can't fix the problem. You can't fix the problem. And let me tell you something, you can't. You can't. You can't find, you can't do anything that's going to change the depression, the lack of happiness and lack of joy. But God is already satisfied. He's already happy. He's already joyous. He's been that way from creation. And he's teaching us. The reason God teaches us, the reason God came was to point us towards an eternal thirst that we have. And he says, I can, here's the word, satisfy you. Nothing else can. Amen? Do you believe that today? So I've been all over. I'm not even looking at my notes. Here we go. God is eternally happy. Here's some verses. Matthew 25, verse 23. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. John 15, 11. These things I have spoken to you. John 15 is an incredible chapter. I encourage you to read it, the whole thing. These things I have spoken to you that my joy, I'm going to come back to this verse, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Every bit of Jesus' teaching is not to condemn you. It's to fill you. It's to give you joy. And he says this, my joy. I said these things that my joy may be in you. A good friend doesn't tell someone, if you don't ever share the gospel, if you don't ever share about the hope you have in you to a friend who's lost and far from God, you're not a good friend. The joy in you must create in you a desire to tell you about it. If I love you, if I care, listen, if I care so much about your opinion of me that I will never tell you the joy I have, then the real problem is me. Because I care more about what you think of me than what I know is the best thing for you, which is I just overflowingly share the happiness and the joy and who God is. And I don't have to paint a picture of hell and heaven. I can paint a picture of God in so many incredible ways beyond just hell and heaven. Yes, that's the consequence. But it's about fullness. It's about joy. It's about who God is making me. Amen? The joy I have every day. And again, I've told you this before. The testimony you share shouldn't be, I walked down the aisle and I got saved at 6. You should have testimonies every week, every month, every year. Day by day, it's a testimony walking with God. Amen? So folks, as I look at these verses, the joy may be in you. That's why I taught these things, that your joy may be full. John 17, 13. But now I'm coming to you in these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. So as I've kind of already said, the modern world just totally flips this upside down. And that's why, listen, when you look at this world, can I tell you why I came to Christ? Can I tell you? One of the biggest reasons I came to Christ was it made sense of my world. I learned about who God is, and I looked at my world and my life and my family and the brokenness that was the mess of my life. I so happened to be lucky enough to have come into a church that was talking about 1 John. And 1 John was describing my world, the brokenness of my world. And I wanted to know something. And it's the premise of 1 John. It says this, I've said these things that you may know that you are saved. And I wanted to know. I wanted security. I needed it. And as I learned about 1 John and the world and the darkness and the brokenness and the sinfulness, my life made sense. You see, the Bible for me wasn't this God judges me. The Bible was, oh, the world makes sense. See, I don't fight for, am I a sinner or am I not a sinner? I surrender. I'm a sinner. I'm the worst, right? I don't have to fight with anybody about that. I know how far I am and how many mistakes I make. Who's fighting that battle? Jeez, look at the world you live in. See, the Bible made the world make sense to me. Above all things, why I believe in God, why I've surrendered my entire life to ministry and to Jesus for the rest of my life, I will proclaim his gospel to the day I die. Why? The reason is the world makes sense. It's not just I don't want to go to hell. It's the Bible made sense of this broken, messed up world. And there's a lot of people so far from God, so far from truth, that need us to be able to answer those questions. And to be able to engage with questions that are genuine doubts. Like, why does a hurricane take place? Why would a good God allow that? What's your answer? It better not be what happened when I was here and Louisiana got hit, Katrina. It better not be a religious people that say, God hated their sin and that's why it happened. There ain't no sin in Louisiana that isn't right here in Houston. Not a good answer. A good answer is, yeah, it's a sign of judgment. Hurricanes, it's part of the broken mess of creation. Because we are all out of whack. Romans 8 talks about that. The whole thing is out of creation, and one day it will be fixed. But not today. Sin is why. But that's not why a hurricane hit Louisiana. God is sovereign, and he could have stopped it. But he didn't. This is creation. Now, there's a lot more to this conversation we'd have to do. I'd have an entire sermon on this. But how do we paint the picture? How do we help people with their questions that they have? Amen? So, I'm so off topic. We were created to worship and make much of God. It is God's design that when we do so, we experience God's fulfilling, ever-increasing love and joy, which will go on into eternity for endless ages. Let me show you this. God's happiness before creation. John 17, 24. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with you where I am, to see my glory. Just think of who, if anyone said these kind of things, they would be the craziest narcissistic person in the world. Or he's God. So where's your belief system? Look at what I just said, Father. I desire that they also, whom you have given me. And by the way, in the narrative of John, if you get to chapter 17, you're in the very end. It's the final things he can say. He's about to die. From 15 on, these were his final teachings, final words. He's about to die. And he says, whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. There was never a time that the Father was denied the pleasure of delighting in the glory of his Son. Never, never, never in creation. You were not created because God was far from you. You were never created because God was lonely. God needed you. You were created because God had a plan. And it gave him great joy. And think about the narrative of creation. I paid your sins. I gave you free will and I died for you. And it gave God delight to kill himself for you. That's who God is. Goes on, Proverbs 8, 27 through 31. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limits, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of man. In Proverbs 8, the author is personifying wisdom at the beginning of creation as a master workman, delighting the heart of God. The Son of God was the Father's delight as he rejoiced with the Father in the awesome working of making a million worlds. Listen, guys, I used to think when I was younger, and I thought of Moses, like, man, if I saw the Red Sea split, man, I'd believe. If I saw Lazarus come out of that grave, I'd believe. You know what happened as I got older and I learned more about creation and the world and I became, listen, more majestically in awe of who God is. When I found out the amounts of butterflies, when I found out the significant, if the earth just tilted this way, we're done. And it doesn't. I mean, there's so many things about science and creation that woos me. And I say that to say the big thought that I had when I was younger is like, you know what? Moses worshiped God and he had no clue of the billions of galaxies. You ever think about that? Some of these people who saw the Red Sea split and they walked through it had no clue of billions and billions of galaxies that nobody can count. You tell me that when I see that Proverbs 8 verse, I'm seeing a God saying, man, God was so delighted in and of himself and in his Son and in him. When he was creating, he was full of joy. And that's the God I get to spend with for eternity, marveling. If there's billions of galaxies and nobody counts, who knows what that means for us? What is his plans for the Son of God, for Son of Man? I don't know. I just know the Bible says you're the greatest of creation. And that just woos me. What does that mean? Are we going to be over a galaxy? I don't know. I'm okay. That's not theology. That's my mind running amok. But there's billions of galaxies. And Moses had no clue about that. So I could look at Moses and say, I wish I watched the Red Sea. And I say to you, I look at the billions of galaxies, the same message of the gospel, and what God has done has wooed me enough to say, I can look at creation and science and be like, man, God, I'm wooed. I don't need to see the Red Sea. Because you know what happened? I saw Israel. They complained and wanted to be back in slavery. Right? Because we're complainers. I don't want to live in that time. I like my air conditioning. Thank you, God. Amen? But you know what? Billions of galaxies. And Jesus was there. God is totally satisfied in all that he's doing. And listen, who are you to get mad about that? You should be like, God, you are amazing. Look at what you've done. Your kids, your family, creation, the glimpse we have of one planet, billions of galaxies, one planet is all dropping. Do you have awe in God? Let me tell you something. God is totally happy and satisfied, and he is the source of your happiness and your joy, and never give up. Look at your world. Get away from Oh my, I'm gonna do it. Ah, get away from Facebook. Get away from sitting here and focusing on the web and all the problems and circumstances. Get into nature. Look at the world you actually live in, the created world. You'll get some awe back. Last week I preached, I said this to you. I said, the awe of God was the reason the incredible expressions of love took place in Acts. You saw this incredible expression of God's people, but it was the awe of God that created that. Amen? Because the more you, listen, the more you love God, the more you can't help but love people. The more you love God and find your joy and your happiness in Him, the more you are there and focus there, you can't help. It can't help but overflow into every relationship you have. Amen? So you find that joy, that love. And so with that said, as I transition, as we have seen, God is happy and full of joy and delight. We, on the other hand, struggle with happiness and joy. Yet God commands us to have joy. Psalms 32:11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice. Oh, rejoice, oh righteous, and shout for joy. Shout for joy. God, woo! Woo! I'll just do it. Come on. 1, 2, 3. Woo! Our life. All right. Oh, righteous, and shout for joy. All you upright in heart. God commands joy. He demands joy of us. So, the question is, if that's the case, John Piper says this, the joy that Jesus came to bring is from outside this world. It is the very joy that Jesus himself has in God the Father, which he has had from all eternity and will have forever. So, let's focus on joy. Number one, Jesus' aim and all that he taught was the joy of his people. John 15:11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Can I tell you, here's a sermon point. Here's an important point. How do I find joy? Read God's word. Believe it. Believe it. All of it. And listen, surrender to it. Surrender. Don't be offended by God's commands. Surrender to his commands, because his commands are for your fulfillment, for your joy. Jesus said, I have taught these things so that you may be joyous. I mean, you may find joy. Study God's word earnestly. Believe it. Take rest in it. Make it your foundational thing for your joy. Not your money, not your job, not your spouse, not anything, not politics. Make God's truths, his word, your foundational place for where you're placing your joy. Amen? Number two, joy is what God fills us with when we trust in Christ. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. The kingdom of God is joy. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Right? It's not just about the luxuries of life. It's far beyond the luxuries of life. It's about righteousness. God's people should want to be righteous and joyous. And we should want to spread the kingdom of God to the ends of the world. Why? Why would we want to do that? Because we want others to have what? Joy. The kingdom of God is joy. Why share? Why get over your problems with people as to why you don't share the gospel? And they may look at me differently. Why? Because you want them to have joy. That which I hope you have, Christian. Why would I share? Why? Because the kingdom of God is about joy. God is joyous. God is happy. Do you paint that picture? We have to. Amen? Because the kingdom of God is joy. Number four, joy is the fruit of God's Spirit within us. But the fruit of Spirit is love, joy, peace. You don't have joy? I'm not your answer. Let me tell you your answer. If you are saved and the Holy Spirit resides within you, if you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, I can promise you this. I promise you, if you will get on your knees and say, God, give me joy, and start weeping and begging God to give you joy, it will happen. It's a promise of His word. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's yours already. But it's a choice, and a lot of times we choose not to be joyous. We choose. We don't want to change our mind. We don't want to let God's word change our mind. So we're not joyous. And I'm here saying the same thing. I need to hear this message. You want joy? It's a fruit of the Spirit. Meaning, and listen, some of us look at the fruit of the Spirit and we're like, oh, some of us have joy, some of us have peace. No! Fruit, not fruits. Fruit. All of it is yours. Love, joy, peace. Marks of who we should be in God. Amen? Not just, I have peace, but I don't have joy. No, don't do that. It's a misinterpretation of the passage. Joy, peace, love, kindness, goodness, it's yours in Christ. You can have joy. So you get on your knees and say, God, I'm not joyous. I'm not happy. You confess it, and you admit that you need His help. I need you, God. I need your joy. My circumstances are so bad, they've taken all my joy away from me. And I've depended on circumstances changing versus I need you. Circumstances are going to continue, but you're never changing because you're the I Am. You're the ever-eternal, everlasting. Amen? Believe that? All right. Number five. The whole Christian message from beginning to end is good news of great joy. Luke 2:10, and the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all people. I'm glad to be part of that people. Are you? All right, Isaiah, back up. Isaiah 51:11, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing sighing shall flee away. So my question to you, do you have joy? And talk about this in community groups. Are you happy? Will you? Listen, I promise you right now, this is the most important question. Will you let the Holy Spirit change you from bitter and angry, unhappy, to joy? Will you? If you have the Holy Spirit within you, dwelling in you like I do, which God says, faith to move a mountain, right? It's the Holy Spirit that resurrected Jesus from the grave. My hope of coming up out of the grave when I die is God, and that power, that same power is being described, and it says, this is yours. Joy. Happiness, peace, goodness, kindness. I could have preached on any one of these things and said the same thing to you. God is happy. God is loving. God is peace. God is joy. God is goodness. Amen? And I'm talking to you about joy. Are you unhappy, Christian? The world needs a happy Christian. The world needs a joy-filled, can't stop proclaiming the goodness despite my circumstances. We sang songs about this. I don't have it with me. We sang songs about this, right? You're my good, good father. What is that line? But there's like a line in there that's like, okay, I'm going to do it. It's okay. Oh, only king, nope, not only king forever. Oh, Greg, I'm sorry, man. King of my heart, here we are. You're never gonna let me down. What a statement. We just sang that. You're never gonna let me down. Right? We said that. Do you believe that? Circumstances are gonna be bad. Can you still proclaim you're never gonna let me down? How in the world can you say that, Christian? How in the world could you face cancer? And say to the nurse, say to the doctor, say to those visiting you, it's got nothing on me. How? Only because our security, our joy, our happiness is so wrapped up in God. so wrapped up and secure in God that nothing this world can throw at us will take away from us saying, "You're never gonna let me down." Amen? Is that your proclamation? So do you have joy? And I know the band can come up as we go into a time of transition. We don't have the offering at the end of service today, but we do offer time for prayer. You may say, well, why do people come up for this? The reason you come up for this, guys, is we're just here to pray for you. It doesn't mean you're confessing, "I have no happiness." You're not confessing, "I don't have no joy." You may have something going on in your life right now. You just need people to lay hands on you. You want to hear someone say to you, "Jesus loves you and he's with you." That's what this time is for. If you want to get alone with God and just say, "God, change my attitude," it's available. This is a time of just response to the sermon. If you're not happy, I promise you, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, if you have God within you, it's as simple as coming to God. And I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow. Get ready, America, and get quick. No, that's not how things work. Because God's got to change your mind, your attitude. And that's been like a long time of becoming who you are. But you can get on your knees and say, "God, give me joy." Can I say to you as your pastor, I need joy. Circumstances have taken some of my joy. So I am with you in prayer saying, "God, give me joy. Let me find my security in you. And let the rest of this stuff, who cares?" Amen? So this is a time of prayer, time of response. Do whatever you feel led to do. But that's what we need. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you that we have a God that is totally happy and satisfied, not needing my songs or my anything, God, to be satisfied. In fact, everything I do in obedience is because I need to do that for my happiness, for my joy. Thank you that you don't terminate on me. Thank you that you don't depend on me. Let us believe that, God. We need you today. We need to know, God. We need to be able to confess that we don't have joy. And God, we need to return to you, to your word, to your truths. And we need you to change our mindset so that we can just be filled with your peace, God. We love you. I thank you for today. I thank you for all present. Let us be changed by your word. So let me pray. Amen.